Michael Lehman. I'm the technology evangelist, and I'm running this particular program, which is designed, as it shows here, to bridge the gap between all of the brand new technology we're doing and the implementation of software plus services applications. As we keep putting out more and more technologies, the number of things that you have to know in order to get moving grows, and the amount of friction then to be able to get from zero to actually doing something increases. So what we're trying to do is to provide some open source frameworks that have been peer reviewed and actually will give you a heads up on actually building some of these applications. So we have three blueprints out right now. We have three more coming out in the next few months. And what these are, again, as I said, they're open source frameworks. They also include guidance, videos, step-by-step instructions, as well as, in some cases, actual tooling that runs inside Visual Studio. What is a software plus services blueprint? Well, it's most of the time a reasonable framework, guidance for developers, guidance for architects, guidance for IT pros, and sample code that you can actually use. So oftentimes there's actual code that you can actually use in your application plus samples where we show you how to use that code. What's the experience of using a software plus services blueprint? Well, we have something called the Software Plus Services Blueprint Manager that's a Visual Studio add-in that runs inside Visual Studio and actually allows you to expand project templates, gives you contextual guidance and sometimes tooling. I'll show you a little bit of that later on. But if you're not running Visual Studio Pro or above, or if you want to just take things as the code itself, we actually also deliver you the guidance and the source code as standalone things on CodePlex. Let's talk a little bit about what are the blueprints that we already released. The first blueprint we released was called the Outlook Plus Services Blueprint. And what that allows you to do is to build Outlook add-ins in days rather than weeks or months. You know, if you can build a startup in a weekend, and there's actually this thing called Startup Weekend where people get together for 48 hours and try to build a startup, it certainly shouldn't take you a week or a month to build an Outlook add-in in order to be able to expose that data inside, you build some kind of social networking application to expose that data inside Outlook. So what we give you is we give you custom code, and we also give you tools that help you build custom folders, custom forms, allow you to create things that work with the Fluent Ribbon interface, and some specific guidance on how to build background tasks in Outlook to go and get that data so that you work in concert with the Outlook threading model and so forth, so that your user has a good experience of running inside Outlook. The next blueprint is something we just announced this week at the SharePoint conference, and Steve Ballmer announced it at the CeBIT show in Hanover, Germany, and Scott Guthrie talked a little bit about it yesterday in the keynote here at Mix. And it's called the Silverlight Blueprint for SharePoint. And what it actually does is it allows you to get access to all the data inside SharePoint from a Silverlight 2 application. So you can write a XAML user interface, you can write code behind in C# or VB.net, and you can access all the lists and documents and contacts and calendars and pictures inside SharePoint. So you effectively can hide all of the SharePoint Chrome if you want and actually deliver a browser-based line of business application that uses all the SharePoint data. So I'm going to run a little video and show you a little bit of the kind of things that that can do. Back over here. So these are examples of applications actually written in C# running inside SharePoint, using the full XAML user interface, and we give you actually all of these exact samples so that you can build these kind of things right as web parts inside SharePoint. So the picture viewers and video viewers and social networking web parts, and as you can see, all of these things actually connect right up into the SharePoint data. And all of this is available at ssblueprints.net/SharePoint. The next blueprint that we released last month is called the Video.Show Blueprint. And what this is something that allows you to build a standalone video sharing site. You know, you can think of it as a small YouTube in a box, but uses Silverlight One, and it uses Silverlight Streaming. And so if you wanted to build, a lot of organizations are using this, the clubs and nonprofits and the departments inside companies are using this to build video sharing and training sites and things inside their company. You can download the Blueprints Manager, open this up, and build yourself a sharing site in a couple of hours. You can also go in and do a lot more customization. It uses Link to get to its SQL backend data. It also allows you to create time-synchronized comments on the videos. So let's say somebody built a training video to show somebody how to use a particular machine. They could actually do comments that pop up in little pop-up windows simultaneously along with the video in order to caption those things. And we have some more blueprints coming out in the next couple of months or so. One of them is called the multi-tenant data services. If you're building a software plus services backend, you may want to be able to have, you know, one single database, but content in there for one customer and another whole set for another customer. If you've ever actually had to build that from scratch, you know that's a non-trivial problem. And so what we've done is we've taken one of our reference architecture sample applications. It's called Bitware HR. And we've extracted the multi-tenant data access out of it and the security that goes around that and built it into a blueprint that also actually has tooling in it so that you can go and install all the pieces that you need to from inside Visual Studio. You can then say start creating all of your entities, and there's wizards that go along there that actually create the code for you, actually create the SQL to create the appropriate tables and columns in the database. And that'll be coming out, if all goes well, later on this month. And, of course, what good would a back-end, you know, multi-tenant data service be without some way of allowing you to create services on the client? So we have something called the Desktop Services Host Blueprint that will be coming out either this month in March or next month in April that allows you to create it's a WPF-based host that runs on the desktop that allows you to create services that run on the desktop but that can be communicated with via BizTalk services in the cloud or communicated with via whatever custom WCF type things you might want to create, but also supports the .NET 3.5 add-in architecture. So it allows you to say, all right, I've got this host, and I can put one or more plugins. An example might be, say, you have a home automation system. You know, you've got, okay, I've got something for the garage door and something for the refrigerator and something for electricity. And you can individually, it provides a control panel so you can individually start and stop these services and monitor them, provide help for each of the individual services. Again, so it's a whole big infrastructure, so all that lifting that you don't have to do. You have a question?
The thing about the hooked up with the robotic studio in any way?
The question was, is it going to be hooked up with the robotic studio? One of the demos that we have is actually using it to control robots via the robotic studio. So we have a number of things that we're doing. We don't necessarily, the first initial version of the blueprint probably won't contain the robotics code, but we'll probably release some of that as a sample to go along with this blueprint. So as I mentioned before, when we release a blueprint, we release the security review guidance-based stuff that is the blueprint, and then we also release samples to go along with it so that you can see what you can do with this blueprint. But we don't; those are actual sample code in the normal tradition of sample code, meaning sometimes they have certain things left out in the interest of clarity. You wouldn't want to write your production software that way. But so we clearly identify those things as samples in order to show you what to do, and the blueprints actually have all the appropriate stuff you'd want to use in a production application. And then we have a couple more blueprints that I can't quite talk about yet, but some of the things we've announced here at Mix will be involved in those things. And one of the things that we do want to do, but we're not sure exactly the timing of it, is actually to build a blueprint that's built around the Sync framework. So that, because, again, what good is a software plus services application if it can't actually do something when the service isn't available? At least that's my personal definition of software plus services. It's software that does something when the service isn't there, and when the service comes back, it syncs up and does all the appropriate things. Another question.
Is there going to be, talking about this sync, offline? I'm thinking, I know there was a lot of talk last week about Silverlight offline experience, but that can be achieved right now using Gears. Is there going to be any way, any blueprint or any kind of best practice to do some of that and taking advantage of offline technologies on the browser, either with Gears?
So to try to summarize your question, are we going to offer specific guidance for doing Silverlight with offline, with occasionally connected things using the browser, potentially with Gears or with some other technology? I know that we have things that are in progress in that area. I don't know specifically what the details of those are, but I'm sure those will be coming out on the Silverlight.net site when they are available. I know that we're trying to work in those directions. I don't know specifically the sync framework is designed to basically be a metadata-based bidirectional sync. I don't know whether that's supported by the CLR that's in Silverlight 2 or not, but I expect eventually some version of it will be, but I don't know at this point. So what we're going to be doing primarily in the Blueprints program is talking about desktop application sync with services. But I know that obviously that's the eventual goal we all want, right, to be able to create a zero-footprint install application that runs offline and online and does everything you want it to do. So I'm sure eventually we'll get there. And when we get there, we'll have a blueprint for it. So the main place to find out about blueprints, to download the software plus services blueprints manager is from Channel 9, channel9.msdn.com/blueprints. Or you can go to the CodePlex site, codeplex.com/ssblueprints, and there you can download not only the Blueprints Manager, but the standalone versions of the Blueprints if you're not using the Blueprints Manager. The really cool thing about the Blueprints Manager is that it provides an RSS-based automatic updating mechanism as well, which means once you've installed this, which is a small free add-in for Visual Studio, then as we release new Blueprints, you tell it to go out and update, it'll download the new Blueprints and put them in your local repository. So you'll have the latest Blueprints, you'll have fixed Blueprints, you'll have additional samples. So you get automatic, it's like essentially software podcasting, if you will.
Yes.
No, that's all right.
How does this relate with the application blocks and everything that the application in terms of, you know, I was in a meeting last week with some of the, you know, community kind of leaders in the Costa Rican land. And, you know, one of the questions was that Microsoft's huge, right? I mean, we've been looking at here that a lot of the sessions are really wide and varied, the concepts. And there are so many ways that you guys kind of push people to this one. And there are so many voices somehow, you know, that some people might tend to, you know, kind of get distracted, kind of get confused. This is great, you know, best practices and all this, bringing all those to the people. But how is going to, you know, kind of collaborate with other issues that are over.
So I've had this question many times. The question is, how does this relate to patterns and practices? How does it relate to architecture blocks and so forth? So the Software Plus Services Blueprints program is being run by our developer and platform evangelism team. And we are looking at things that are, you know, betas and CTPs and things like that. We're trying to reduce the friction between what we call the rhythms, which are all the technology adoption programs and so forth, and you building Software Plus Services applications. What the Patterns and Practices group does is that it basically takes things that are RTM code, waits for a while, defines some best practices, and then puts those out and says, here's what we recommend as best practices. So the things that we're doing as blueprints today will potentially become things like application blocks 2-3 years from now. So we're doing things that are allowing you to actually work with things today. The Silverlight blueprint for SharePoint is a good example. It works with Silverlight 2 Beta 1 right now. And there's only coming from Patterns and Practices that will give you that kind of thing during the development cycle. So we're trying to provide you that same kind of thing, but much earlier in the cycle and much more focused on the things that are right now. And when Silverlight 2, Beta 2 comes around, we'll rev some of these things so that, and again, if you're using the Blueprints Manager, you'll be able to automatically download those updates and then update your code and provide guidance on how to move from one beta to the next and so forth. So it's similar, but we're much, much earlier in the cycle, and we're going to be updating much more frequently.
So it's kind of like an incubation.
An incubation thing? Yes, essentially.
Now, there will be things that are going to move to better practices.
Right, exactly. And we take advantage of some of the patent practices things. Our multi-tenant data access thing, for example, uses some things from Enterprise Library and so forth, but is designed to work with our, you know, early access technologies of new versions of SQL Server and so on and so forth. So, in addition to that, you know, we're also tightly tied into the software factories efforts that are going on, which are, again, sort of another step beyond what we're trying to do. You know, the process of building blueprints is something that's very similar to building software factories, so there's a lot of commonality there. I've been working with the software factories team for almost 4 years now, so we have a similar philosophy, but we're trying to do things that are extremely early on with just betas and CTPs that customers can use right now.
The web factory, yes. One of the good things about it is that the team is, brought a lot of patterns and a lot of abstract concepts to the factory. And then they show, how to accomplish that with the web client, if you will. If not, then, because of business rules or whatever, lines of code that is already there, that you can, put in practice a lot of those patterns and a lot of those concepts.
Right.
Is that also, associated to what you guys are doing?
We're doing that, but not to that extent. Again, what Patterns and Practices is trying to do is to look out there and find patterns and find best practices and then codify them and say, here's what you can use. We're trying to say, we have some brand new technology, and instead of just standing on top of one mountain and pointing to the next one and say, go there, we're trying to give you a roadmap of the steps you need to take, and here's some sample code or some reusable framework you can use to get started with these things. We're not trying to tell you this is necessarily the best way in the long run. We're trying to say this is what you can use right now to get going.
And this is a way to do it.
And this is a way to do it. For example, the Silverlight for SharePoint, you can use it right now with Silverlight 2 Beta 1 today and get moving. It isn't, we don't necessarily know what the best practices are. We just finished the bits last week. We're still working on that. Yes? So the question was, we're going to provide us migration paths. Yes, to the best of our ability, we're going to do that. In a future version of the Blueprints Manager, though, we're also going to provide a freezing mechanism, so you can say, this particular piece of code works with this particular set of guidance and this particular version of the reusable framework. And so when you open it up a year from now to try to fix a bug, you have the tools and the same DLLs and so forth that match the code that you have, not the stuff that's been updated 5 times. So, yes? The question was going to talk a little bit about the Silverlight for SharePoint Blueprint. So on Monday at the SharePoint conference, we announced the Silverlight for SharePoint Blueprint, which is essentially a set of APIs and a custom web part that you can use to build Silverlight 2 Beta 1 applications inside SharePoint. So if you go to ssblueprints.net/SharePoint, there's a whole series of 6 samples. There's walkthrough videos on each of those and source code that you can download and try right now. We're actually going to be taking all of that and then turning it into our formalized blueprint format and releasing it again later on this month with the integrated guidance. But we thought that the value of this stuff was too large to wait till we finish that whole process and put the samples out right now. But basically, it allows you to create a custom line of business application, if you will, that runs as a web part inside SharePoint but still has access to all the lists and documents and contacts and calendar and pictures and so forth. That are inside SharePoint, and you can write C# code or DB.NET code that works against those as a XAML user interface. At the end here, when I'm done, I'll run the video of that again. It runs for about 90 seconds or so to kind of show some of those examples. So that's pretty much what I have to say. My email address is up there. Those are the websites where you can download the Software Plus Services Blueprints Manager and the Blueprints. Are there any other questions? All right, well, thank you all very much for coming. And again, channel9.msdn.com/blueprints. Thank you. I'll run the video again. Silverlight control right inside the traditional one page.